But let us pray. Lord, in this blessed season, we are also in a difficult season. I pray that you will speak to us today about how you want to break through the darkness as our light. Let us hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. When I sat down to write this 2 days ago, I could never have known why the Lord gave me the title he did. Why do we celebrate Christmas? I think this morning, after the events of the last 24 hours, that's a very apposite question. Going through our passage in Matthew this morning, we're going to look at how when God broke through into this world, he broke through into the life of this carpenter, Joseph, in a way that totally upset his plans. And this morning, perhaps, certainly for me and maybe for others, we feel that's what's happened. So we're going to look at the passage of Matthew for some answers. There are big differences in this perspective of this passage from the one that Luke gives us. Mainly in that he concentrates on Joseph, not on Mary. Often when a baby is about to be born, it's the mother that gets all the attention, isn't it? It's only in recent years that the father's even got paternity leave. And it wasn't much different then. I mean, it was very much the woman's thing, and I don't think the men got very involved other than at the first point. But in this account, which isn't even about the birth, it's about what leads up to the birth, it's told from Joseph's perspective. In one way, because Matthew has laid out this genealogy that shows that Joseph is part of the house of David. And one of the key things that Matthew wants to do is to link this into Isaiah's prophecy, to show his readers that this is the fulfillment of Scripture. So he starts with these words. This is how the birth of the Messiah came about. Now, we don't have many children here, so it's the adults who are going to have to answer the questions this morning. Who knows what the word Messiah means? And to be quite honest, if I ask this question to a congregation such as this, I expected to see every single hand go up.
Sorry about this, very impersonal. Go for it.
Chosen one.
Chosen one, or there's another. We had a couple of meanings. Chosen one.
Anointed one.
Anointed one. Saviour. A number of things. One sent, the chosen one, as you have said, to save his people. In other words, this is the one Matthew is trying to say. That is the appointed one that they've been waiting for. This is the person, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He's reminding them, the readers, of their scriptures. Thirdly, this passage shows us how, as people of God, we need to react to these things, to being let down. How do we feel this morning? Do we feel let down? To judging others. Who are we judging this morning? Is it the government? To trusting God. To acting on his word. All of these things come out of this passage from how we see Joseph react to what is happening to him. So let's look at this person of Joseph. What do we know about him? Who can tell me what they know about Joseph? Nothing.
He's a carpenter.
He's a carpenter. Keep going, there are four things.
He comes from Nazareth.
He comes from Nazareth, descended from the family of David.
The line of David.
Yeah. There you go, that's a line, effectively, of David.
He's engaged to Mary.
He was...
engaged to Mary.
Yes, he was engaged to Mary. That's the last one in the thing, but I'll give you that one. What's the other one? Because I've just put it up there. Third picture. What does it say in the passage about him? He was a righteous man, that's right. Faithful to the law, a good Jew. Now, the first thing we have to remember about being betrothed in those days is not like being engaged now, which is a kind of just sort of a ring and a look forward to what's going to happen. In those days, being betrothed was like really a mini marriage without the actual living together. There was a contract that had been signed. So there were quite a lot of legal requirements to a betrothal. We need to keep that in mind. Now, I was talking about the fact that this morning many of our plans have been disrupted. Now, I bet Joseph had plans. That's a bit of a modern one. I couldn't find an old-fashioned one. But we all have plans, don't we? And I imagine that Joseph was thinking, I've got this nice young lady I'm going to marry. I've got a good job. I'm a carpenter. It was really quite a good job in those days. I'm going to build my business. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have children. I'm planning to furnish my nice new home with all the furniture I've made. Sell a bit. Have my children. They're going to grow up as respected Jews. I'm going to be respected in my society. I'm going to grow old with my wife, quietly abiding by the law. Those were his plans, I'm sure, or something like that. But just like for a lot of us today, his plans are about to be thrown apart, totally scuppered, thrown out the window. This Mary, this nice young 14, 15-year-old girl, who he obviously is happy to be married, being married to, says she's pregnant. Oh, and by the way, obviously he's not the father. And what's the excuse she comes up with? The Holy Spirit made her pregnant. Now, what do you think would be his reaction, first of all, going through his mind? I open it up to the floor.
Be brave.
Be brave.
No, that wasn't my response.
Well, I think it's a good one.
Tell me the other one.
Tell me another one. Yeah, I'm sure it was. Any other thoughts? We are given an idea of what he was thinking in the next part of the passage, but... No? Yep.
He may have been feeling betrayed under the surface, but didn't want to say so. Out of politeness and respect.
Betrayed, yes. Let down. Isn't it hard when people we know well or people we trust let us down? She's not what he thinks she was. He must have been very hurt, very distraught. And we're told he is a faithful Jew, a faithful one to the law. So in Jewish law, he had every right to expose her to the world for what she was, that he might have believed at the time. And in fact, she could have been stoned to death. That was what the law required. He would have been quite within his rights to do that. But does he? We're told he was a righteous man and he didn't want to expose her to disgrace. What does that show us about the heart of Joseph? Anybody? At the back. Two at the back.
He was a very kind, considerate man.
A Kind, considerate man, yeah. I've got another one further back.
I think it showed the grace that was already in him, and it sort of reflects the grace that Jesus has for us.
Very good. It showed that this man was a man of compassion, not bitterness, a heart that didn't want to exact revenge. So already we are learning what kind of man he is, the man that God is about to entrust his son to. Compassion. Compassion at the moment in this difficult time we live in, when, as Richard rightly said at the beginning, people are in short fuses. When we do feel let down by whoever, whether it is our MP or our government or the people near us, how do we react? Are we angry? Do we want to get back at them? Do we feel that our trust has been hurt? When people hurt us, people we trust, how do we react? I really think God wants us to look at this morning. Do we react with grace and compassion? Because that's how he's acted to us. Here, in acting a way not to shame or ridicule Mary, is a mirror on why God is sending Jesus. Despite the fact that we have let him down, his people let him down again and again. God does not want us to be disgraced or exposed to what is right in the law. He wants to save us from that. Joseph does not judge as the law commands him to. And we are to learn from that, not to judge when others let us down. Do we act as we have a right to do? Or do we act as God would want us to do? Because God has not acted in a way that he has the right to do. We celebrate Christmas because God has gone beyond and over. So Joseph has a problem on his hands. Usually somebody would look forward to the birth of a child. But he now has this problem. But being kind and compassionate is what he needs to do. This reading, this verse from Ephesians tells us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just in Christ God has forgiven you. So now, thinking about that, what does Joseph go on to do? He can't do the things that he would have done if this baby had been born normally. Inside this marriage, you know, what do people do when they're planning for a baby? You can't remember, can you? What were the exciting things when that first baby was coming along? Especially fathers here, what did you do? Perhaps to your house? Nothing.
I didn't do any decorating, but did a bit of tidying up, I recall.
Tidying up, okay. Tidying up. Perhaps some people would, I don't know, make a nursery.
I was going to say make a nursery, and specifically possibly even build a cot.
Build a cot. See, you just did tidying up.
That I'd made, because it wouldn't last very long.
Of course, Joseph was a carpenter. I've got one at the back. Somebody who's recently had a new granddaughter.
I'm just remembering what Connor would do for Ellie, and I think they'll be listening this morning, but he'd get up at all hours and go and get her chocolate if she needed it.
Oh.
Look after her.
Wow. That was very good. I'm not sure that Joseph could go get Mary chocolate, but I'm sure there were things. But, of course, he can't think of those things because he has this problem has this problem of the fact that in the world's eyes, she is pregnant outside of marriage, and in Jewish law that means he should put her aside, at least, if not expose her to the world. But on the other side, he has this heart of compassion, and he doesn't really want to do this to this young woman. He's probably gone to bed troubled, tossing and turning, like a lot of people did last night. What am I going to do with the two turkeys I bought? I heard somebody on the radio this morning, and they were talking on Good Morning Sunday, and she said, I've got this huge goose, and we're locked down in London. She said, I don't know how long we'll be eating the goose for. I'm sure there were other more pressing troubles that were on people's minds. My elderly parent, how am I going to see them? What am I going to do? I can't travel to where they live in Tier 4. The troubles would have been on Joseph's mind as he went to sleep that night. How will I sort out this mess without too much publicity? But while he's thinking, tossing and turning about these things, and I think what's important to remember is that he considered them. He didn't react. That's another thing that I've come across this week in something else that I have to deal with, where people react too quickly to something somebody else has done or said. Joseph takes time to consider. When we are worried about something or something is troubling us, do we take time to consider with God what to do? I feel that Joseph was, in a way, asking God in his considerations. So who can tell me what happens next when he goes to sleep?
An angel speaks to him.
An angel speaks to him. Psst! Joe! The angel appears to him. This is the first of three occasions when an angel appears to Joseph. And this time the angel again refers to Jesus as the son of David, the saviour that they've been waiting for. Again, here is Matthew trying to bring out to people the fact that this is a fulfillment of God's plan. He confirms that it's God's spirit that's brought about this pregnancy, that Mary hasn't let him down, and tells him what he is to do. He is to take her home as his wife because the son that will be born will save people from their sins. What a revelation! Joseph went to bed troubled that all his life plans had gone out the window, and he awakes with a new plan given by God. God has broken into his life in this amazing way, and from disappointment and failure, he's brought this amazing gift. When our plans, as they have been throughout this year, not just in the last 24 hours, seem to be scuppered, how do we react? With bitterness, with judgment, or with calm consideration? Do we allow God the time to break in, to show us his way? And if we do, do we act upon it? God has broken into Mary's life plan and then into Joseph's. But the fact is that this break-in for them is a much bigger break-in for us. Because God is about to break into the world's plan, to the human being's plan. The story of Christmas, the reason we celebrate, is about how God left his home in heaven and broke into the world to bring about his plan and his purpose for his beloved creation. To bring about his compassion and his grace. He could have left us to it. Just like Joseph could have left Mary to be stoned. But not being a loving God, he could not do that. God could have justly dispensed with us. But his love is so great, he was about to make the ultimate sacrifice to save his people, to save you and me. Every Christmas we see this. Have we forgotten what it truly means? When we're worrying about how much turkey we've got to eat, or the fact that We've got piles of presents at home that we can't give to anybody because we can't get to see them. Or that our plans are ruined. Do we remember that Christmas is about that? And that hasn't changed. The dreaded COVID can't change that. And do you know, I want you to go away with a different thinking about COVID. Christ, our victorious, incarnate deity. That is truly COVID. That. Joseph, we know, obeyed God's call, although it would not be easy for him or for Mary. Their life would not be quiet. This child would cause them all sorts of problems. Running away, ending up in the temple. And I don't suppose their life was easy when he was born. We know that. They had to run to Egypt. People were after them. This plan of his for a nice, quiet family life, that wasn't going to happen. But still, Matthew tells us, he got up and he obeyed because he knew the scriptures. He knew that reading from Isaiah. A virgin will give birth to a son and his name will be Emmanuel. His reactions are those of one who trusts God at his word. And we know that the word has become flesh. So do we trust God at his word, Jesus? Joseph has shown he is a good caretaker for God's son because of his attributes. He's got faithfulness in the light of disappointment, compassion for others despite their wrongs, and trusting in God and following his plans. All of those things we will then go on to see in Christ. As he heals the paralytic of his sins, as he heals on the Sabbath, and as he says that the greatest commandment is to love one another, he will bring salvation to all mankind. He will be fully human, but also fully divine. God with us. But as a little boy, what did he think of that? And we're just going to watch a little clip from the young Messiah, hopefully.
I was a good girl, strictly raised, and betrothed to Joseph. When one morning my room filled with light, it was white light, like the sun, but with no heat or pain. Pure. Like the air itself was glowing. I saw a figure, larger than a man, but like a man inside the light. And it spoke to me. Said, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. I had found favor with the Lord, and I was blessed among women. It said that from my womb would come a son. You. Named Jesus. This is nice. You're getting so big, we won't be able to do this much longer.
Go on with the story.
I said I had never been with a man. So the angel said that the Holy Spirit would come over me and that I would give birth to a holy child. I answered, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be done.
What did Joseph say?
Yes, that was a worry. But an angel also came to him and told him everything.
Is he angel?
No. No. The angel is not your father. God is. God is your father.
Never forget the message of Christmas. We hear it every year, but I think this year we need to hear it more. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why is it important that even though we might not be able to celebrate it how we usually do, the message isn't any different. This amazing act of God when he left his home and came to walk among us, even allowing himself to be born a helpless baby. God knew he was placing his child, his son, with worthy parents who were faithful. Yes, Joseph's plans were thrown out the window, but a much better one came in the door. And Jesus is there to come into our lives afresh every day, not just at Christmas. We are open to his plans if we allow our hearts to be open to his grace. And if every day our lives are faithful, compassionate, lacking in judgment, slow to anger, swift to bless. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Despite the challenges, may God bless you this Christmas with a fresh appreciation of the wonder of this season and with a keen anticipation this Advent that God is with us and that his final return when his plans are finally fulfilled will come. Amen.